Blog Talk Radio.
First Peter 1:15, as he which is holy, which has called you, is holy, so be ye holy in all manner of conversation, or in all manner of living. Hallelujah. And the only way that you can do that is when you fall in love with Jesus.
Separation. Separation from sin, separation from the world. Hebrews chapter 12 and verse 14, which says simply, follow peace with all men and holiness, without which no man shall see the Lord. If we expect to have the Holy Spirit dwelling in our lives, it makes a lot of sense. We must be holy. Holiness really means being Christ-like. Holiness means every aspect of living for God. It's a privilege to be holy. It's a privilege not to be bound to sin. It's a privilege not to be addicted to alcohol. It's a privilege not to be addicted to smoking. It's a privilege not to be bound by lust and bitterness and envy. It's the most powerful thing in the world that when somebody treats you wrong, instead of treating them wrong back, you can say, look, nobody's going to manipulate me. Nobody's going to tell me how to think. The devil can't make me do this. No other person can provoke me into an ungodly situation. But through the power of the Holy Ghost, I can respond with a meek and gentle and quiet and peaceable spirit under all circumstances.
Well, don't y'all over there think of, well, y'all say you can't do this, you can't do this, and you can't do certain things. It don't matter how long you talk to them. Until they get a revelation of who God is, they're not going to understand what holiness is. This salvation in Acts 2:38 is not a must. I mean, it's not a maybe. It's a must. It's not just an optional way, another plate building to get into and just say you're a believer, but it is the only way to travel and to become a true, full-hearted believer.
Well, praise the Lord. Welcome again to another broadcast of Kingdom of God Ministries. We're glad you could join us, and I want to say to our listening audience, if you would like to call in, we have a guest call-in number. It is 323-375-0849. Tonight we will be teaching on the authority of the believer to defeat the devil. And, you know, we have a lot of authority as believers, but the question is, are we using our authority? So we're going to go through some biblical scriptures, and then at the end of the broadcast, we will be having a mass deliverance and prayer for those of you that are bound up and feeling like you're just defeated right now. God has already defeated the enemy. So we will be doing a mass deliverance service and just teaching you on how to get set free from the grip of the enemy. Tonight I wanted to cover some of the power that God gave us as believers. He didn't leave. He doesn't want any of us to be bound by the enemy. And one thing I've noticed in the body of Christ, we get call after call after call, people being bound up. And you ask them, are you a believer? They say, yeah, we don't doubt that. But there are demonic strongholds in their lives that they feel like they're defeated. They feel like they don't have any hope. And God has already defeated the enemy on Calvary when he died and shed his blood. He defeated the enemy. But see, if you're walking in ignorance and don't know your power and the authority you have as a believer, that's how he get legal access in your life. So tonight we will be exposing the enemy. We will be tearing down some strongholds. We will set the captives free. And this is why we do what we do. Because truthfully, I get sick of seeing God's people just so bound up. And they're good-hearted people. They go to church. They tithe. But they're bound up. And they don't know how to be set free. Well, tonight, you can be set free. And so I'm coming out of, first of all, I want to talk about the blood. This is one of the weapons that you can use. And see, the enemy hate the blood of Christ, the blood of Jesus. And so I want to say to you that are listening, if you're feeling a little bit squirmish right now, that's not you, that's those demons in you. Because just the mentioning of the blood of Jesus, they can't stand it. So that is a powerful tool that you can use to destroy the enemy. What is the blood? Well, the blood represents life. And in the blood, we see in Leviticus 17 and 11, it says, man cannot create or copy life. He may try, you know, in laboratories like the movie Frankenstein or Frankenstein, they tried to create life, but only God can give true life. I come that you have life and have it more abundantly. So first of all, before we proceed into the message, we need to get a blood transfusion. We need to ask God to come into our lives and cleanse us and wash us with his blood. So that's the first step, because you're not going to be able to fight the enemy and you don't have a relationship with God. You'll be like the sons of Sceva, you know, when they went to try to cast the devil out, and they say, we're going to use the name that Paul used. They show you they didn't have a relationship, because they didn't say in the name of Jesus. They say in the name of the person that Paul used. So you see, you got to have a relationship. When you combat the enemy, you have to know and come in authority. Okay. And it says the blood carries life. Life is in the blood. God prepared a body for his son. And that's in Hebrews 10 and 5. And you can reference these scriptures in your own time, but you can read how God prepared a body for Jesus to come down to redeem mankind. There was no academic mixing of the blood. This was strictly by the power of God. That's found in John 2 and 21. If Adam had not sinned, you see, then we would not have, he would not have had to die. But because of Adam's sin was introduced, it introduced death into the human family. So you see, we needed Jesus to come and redeem us, because we were under a curse of sin. But when you have been bought with a price and you are God shed his blood for you, you no longer need to be a slave to sin. You don't any longer need to be bound up by the enemy, because it's all been paid for on the cross. It's like God sent Jesus to the earth in likeness of sinful Adam, but was pure, uncontaminated blood in his veins. And you notice he said uncontaminated. That means there was no sin in his blood, in his DNA. Now, if you would look on the opposite side, the enemy always tried to pervert the blood of Christ. That's why you see in satanic rituals and things of this nature, they always require blood, but it's perverted, it's contaminated. Jesus' blood was uncontaminated. So I want to say to you, if you're in some type of witchcraft or anything, let's do a blood transfusion tonight, and let's get the blood of Jesus Christ in our veins, the true life, because you don't have life worshiping Satan. Satan, his only pathway is death and destruction. So you remember that. And then I wanted to bring out also that Peter described the blood as the precious blood. And you notice a lot of churches now, they don't even sing about the blood. They don't sing about the redemptive power of the blood of Jesus. It's like they have taken that out to services. But without the blood, there would be no sacrifice. We have to have the blood. It is not possible to access the value of Jesus' blood in human terms. You see, we can't even fathom. That's why it's by the Spirit. That's why you have to be born of the Spirit to understand this supernatural birth. You can't even think it in a carnal mind. You got to get in the spiritual mind to receive it. And when you put the blood of Jesus on something, by faith, Satan will flee because the blood of Jesus is alive. Remember that. It's through faith when we apply the blood. And over in Leviticus 17:11, it says it's for an atonement for the soul. It's a covering. The blood is our covering. Without the shedding of blood, no remission. That's over in Hebrews 9:22. And then we look at how nakedness, we were naked in the eyesight of God before he covered us. We were naked. And so when you see a believer, he said, well, I believe in Jesus, but he's stepping over in the enemy's camp and doing things that is God don't look upon as righteousness. Then you look at it and he say, you crucify him all over again because you continually doing things that he has already covered you. So you don't need to keep walking in that path of error. You can change today. And children of God, listen. When you have been bought with a price, there was a price paid for your salvation. Don't take it lightly. Don't take it and say, well, because I'm covered in the blood, I could still continue to sin. God forbid. God do not want you to still walk in a defeated life because you have new life in you, so act accordingly. Don't be saying, well, because I'm saved, I can still commit fornication. Because I'm saved, I can still be a drunkard. Because I'm saved, I can still dabble in witchcraft. Because I'm saved, I can still be bitter and hateful and unforgiving. Because you feel that, oh, it was covered in the blood. But that is only if you repent and turn with the covering applied to you. But if you willfully walking in that, then you're opening the door to demonic strongholds. So that I want to put that out on the table right now. Let's get that straight. Yeah, you are covered under the blood, but it's not for you to go out and do what you want to do and say, just take the blood of Christ as, you know, nonchalant. That was a precious price paid for our salvation, and we need to hold dearly to that. It says over here in Luke 17:11, it was the atonement. It was the covering. Without the shedding of blood, no remission. We were in nakedness. But God clothed us with his righteousness. Where sin abound, grace did much more abound. That's over in Romans 5:20. With grace came the blood of Jesus, which freely given in love. It covers all our sin. Jesus loves us so much that he came. God prepared a body for him because the sacrifices that they were given in the Old Testament, it wasn't enough to cleanse us and cover us. But see, Jesus' precious blood, he did it all on the cross. Luke 10:19 said, there is no weapon when you're covered in the blood, no weapon formed against you will prosper. That means whatever the enemy is shooting your way, whatever demonic strongholds, attacks, mental attacks, anything, infirmities that he is shooting your way, it will not prosper. And I just want to tell you, last night I know we had did a deliverance and we cast a evil spirit off of someone, and the Lord woke me up at about 3 o'clock, and when I woke up, I seen this face just over the bed looking down on the pastor. And I began to plead the blood of Jesus, and it disappeared. Well, what it was that spirit that, because the person had some kind of background and astral projection, and what it was, that spirit just gone astral project and try to come and see who it was. So we began to plead the blood and we cast that spirit out of there. And see, you have that same authority. I am no different than you. The same power and authority that God gave us, you have that same authority. And that's what we're talking about tonight, the authority and power of a believer. The blood, he said, we were washed in the blood. That's over. You can look that up. And then Ephesians 2 and 6 and Exodus 12 and 7. See, these are scripture references showing how we were washed in the blood. And if you remember over in Exodus, when the children of Israel, when the death angel was going to pass through, and I referenced that, to destroyer, which is Satan, the children of Israel were told to put the blood on the doorpost, and the death angel would pass over. Well, that's what I'm saying to you. Do you have the blood where you can apply the blood where the devil and his demons have to pass over you? They will not be able to destroy you. By no means can they hurt you or destroy you. Revelations 9 and 11, that's where I came that reference scripture. It was talking about Apollyon. The Greek means destroyer, Satan, Abaddon, ruin, perdition, destruction. So you see how the enemy, that's all he's about. He's about destroying. He's about destruction. He's about tearing you down. He's about coming into your family, wreaking havoc in your family. And you have to get adamant. And you need to evict the demons out of your house, because that's their main objective, is to destroy your temple. Over in the blood, if we use the blood, we can cast out unclean spirits. That's over in Matthew 12:43-45. The blood is used for pulling down strongholds, 2 Corinthians 2:10-4. Also in Revelations 12:14. These are primary weapons. It's the blood and the word of God. You can pull down the strongholds by the word of God. He said, and over here in Revelation, let's read that, where he said, and it's Revelation 12 and 11, and they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony, and they did not love their lives to death. So you see, through the blood of the Lamb, through the word of our testimony, we have the power to destroy the works of the enemy. Also, when the high priest would enter into the temple every year, if they did not have the blood, they would die. So you see, the blood is very important, and I don't want us to take it so lightly, because it is not being taught in the churches, that we just take it just for granted. There was a price paid. We need to live accordingly the way the Lord commands us to live as believers. And I have some general warfare scriptures that you can use when you are, because, see, we can do deliverance, but it should be an ongoing thing. And you have to be able to stand to fight against the enemy. And these are just some general verses for spiritual warfare. You have James 4 and 7. You have Ephesians 6, 10 through 18. Now, this is what these are scriptures you can use toward the enemy. You have Luke 10 and 19. You have Proverbs 18 and 10. You have Revelations 12 and 11. You have Mark 16, 17. 2 Corinthians 10, 3 through 5. And 1 John 4, 14. 4 through 14. I would read them, but because we only have 60 minutes tonight, then I just gave you the reference scriptures that you can read in your spare time. Also, it says the foreshadowing fulfilled in Christ. Every type of symbol of the atonement in the Old Testament was fulfilled in Christ. When Jesus shed his blood, splattered over his body, his garments, the cross, and the ground, the following events that foreshadow his atoning work was completed. The blood sprinkled on the altar, Exodus 24:6-8. It was all around the altar, Exodus 29:12-16, and Leviticus 7-2. On the high priest and his garments, Exodus 29:20-21. At the base of the altar, Leviticus 4-7. On the side of the altar, Leviticus 5-9. And before the tabernacle, seven times, Numbers 19:4. So you could see the blood was used as an atonement for us. And we don't have to be bound up. And these are some verses that I wanted you to use when you're doing your spiritual warfare. Because we're going to go over a lot of different doors that Christians unknowingly and some of them knowingly open these doors. And every demon that comes in, he don't come in by himself. He comes in with a group of demons. So you might think you just have a spirit of pride, but believe me, there's other demons attached to pride. You might think you have a spirit of fear, but there's other spirits attached to fear. So we're going to be going through these and casting out some of these demons that have people bound up. And like I said again, Saints, it is so sad. It is so sad to see the body of Christ so tormented. And we're walking believers, but yet we're being tormented. Jesus came to set the captives free. This is why he shed his blood, so that you could be free, so that you wouldn't be bound up. You can be set free tonight. But you need to walk in your authority. Stop letting the devil use you for a doormat. And he just come in at will, and you just say, okay, come on in. No, we're going to stop that tonight. Because if you're not getting taught properly, you need to get out the church of those churches. If they're not teaching you spiritual warfare and how to fight the enemy, you need to be asking God where else you need to go. Because we get so many calls, and then we ask them, are you a believer? Yes, we are. Well, you have the authority in Christ Jesus to break these strongholds, to destroy the works of the enemy. So I just want to bring that to you. I always open up. I wanted to just ask the Lord to just put his blood over this radio station to our listeners, open their ears so that they can hear the word that Pastor Bobby is going to bring. Lord, we ask that you touch their heart and just give them a receiving spirit. We tear down all strongholds of the enemies that have your people bound up. And we take authority over the enemy right now that have our people captive, have your people captive, held captive in bondage. And we plead the blood of Jesus over them in Jesus' name. So the next voice you hear will be that of Pastor Bobby, and I'll come back on later, and we'll go through some demonic strongholds. Amen? Amen. So you'll hear a short little pause, and then he'll come on.
Gotta die to the flesh, gotta live in the spirit, so these lyrics fall down, so your people can hear it. Gotta die to the flesh, gotta live in the spirit, so these lyrics fall down, so your people can hear it. Oh, 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 gotta die, gotta die. So many times I felt
like a failure. So many times I call on the Savior, who picked me up when my head is hanging low to the ground. When there's nobody else around, when I felt like giving up, you helped me put the weight down. On my shoulders, big boulders, they roll right off. On my knees, I seek the Father, help me bear my cross. To Calvary I walked, and now my flesh hit a cross. Now that I'm found, I can't never ever be lost. I serve the boss, Jesus Christ anointed, paid the cost. For my sin, who burdens got to leave, keep my head above the sea, fighting till I finish my race. I got my crown in heaven, no devil kissed in my place. My name can't be erased in this book of life. I die to live to be united with Christ. Spirit over the flesh, it's a constant test. Daily being tested, so I stay in my best. Spiritual, I mean the word like a box of cereal. The anointing make them demons get straight fearful. Upon me is great as Jesus who lives in me. I got the power of the Trinity, I'm walking in the victory. I'm walking in the victory. Gotta die to the flesh, gotta live in the spirit, so these lyrics fall down, so your people can hear it. Gotta die to the flesh, gotta live in the spirit, so these lyrics fall down, so your people can hear it.
Praise the God, praise God, praise God, praise God. People listening, thank you for listening. We're talking about the authority of the believer to defeat the devil. You heard Sister Montgomery speaking earlier in reference to how powerful and mighty the blood of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ in defeating the enemy. So we don't ever want to forget that. Now, that's just one phase of it, but that's the most important phase of it, because the blood of Jesus is what has purchased our salvation and started our authority and power to have complete deliverance and complete defeat of the devil. Now, what I'm going to do at this particular point in time, I'm going to go to the Word. I'm going to bring out some things in reference to the authority and power and in reference to the Spirit of Almighty God coupled with the blood of Jesus Christ, and we have complete victory in that. We can't lose with what God has given us. God has given us our salvation through the life, death, resurrection in the blood of Jesus Christ. He's given us his mighty Holy Ghost, Holy Spirit, which is all-powerful, and the enemy cannot stand against those things. But we have to believe that, and we have to walk in that, and we have to exercise that. Now, I'm going to Zechariah 4, 6, and 7. Familiar verse. I'm going to read it to you. It says, "Then answered and spake unto me, saying, This is the word of the Lord unto Zerubbabel, saying, Not by might, nor by power, but by my spirit, saith the Lord of hosts. Who art thou, O great mountain? Before Zerubbabel thou shalt become a plain, and he shall bring forth the headstones thereof with shoutings, crying, Grace, grace unto it." Now, in Zechariah 4, 6 through 7, this is in reference to the physical temple that had been torn down. The people of Israel had been taken to Babylon under Nebuchadnezzar. They were in Babylon for a while. But what happened, Babylon fell under the conquest of Persia, the Medes and the Persians, Darius. And what Darius did, he allowed them to go back to the homeland to rebuild their temple. But when they got back to the homeland to rebuild the temple was in disarray. It needed much work. And when Zerubbabel looked at it, it was something that it looked like it could not be done. It was in very bad shape. But God told him that it's not by his might and it's not by his power, but it was by the Spirit of God that he was going to do this thing. Then the word of God said to him, "Who art thou, O great mountain? Before Zerubbabel thou shalt become a plain." Now, we talk about the temple, but Jesus also said that his body was a temple and that his body was going to in so many words, die. And he said in 3 days he was going to be rebuilt. He was going to rebuild it again. Now, when he said that, the scribes and the Pharisees said, look, this man must be losing his mind. It took over 40 years to build this physical temple that we're looking at. And he says he's going to build it in 3 days. But Jesus wasn't talking about that. He was talking about the temple of his body. Now, what are we talking about when we talk about the temple of our body? We're talking about our physical body. Now, many times we have mountains in our mind, mountains of in our temple, in our body, things that we think that we just can't deal with, and in many instances we can't. But that's why the Lord says it's not by our power and it's not by our might, but it's by the Spirit of the living God. It's by the Holy Ghost that we can make the mountains of our life a smooth plain where we don't have to struggle with it. God has given us the power and the might through his Spirit and by the blood of Jesus Christ to make the mountains a plain, whether it be a mountain of demonic possession, oppression, we're being tormented by evil spirits. Evil spirits are trying to take over our mind. Evil spirits are trying to take over our soul. The evil spirits are trying to take over our heart. They're hurting, they're afflicting us in any way. We have the authority through Jesus Christ to destroy that mountain. Something that we can't handle ourselves and all that we try to do, the Lord is there to give us the strength and the power to make that mountain a plain. But we have to believe it, we have to receive it, and we have to walk in the authority and the power that the Lord Jesus Christ has already given to us. He gave us that authority, he gave us that power on the cross when he died, shed his blood, was resurrected on the third day, and is now sitting on the right hand of the Father, making intercession for us. And then when he did that, he also sent us the Holy Ghost, the Holy Spirit, to guide and teach us and be a paraclete or a helper, someone to walk beside us and help us in everything and give us all the tactics, all the strategies of the enemy, and that we can be victorious and exercise our authority in Christ. We are ambassadors on this earth for the kingdom of God. Ambassadors have power, they have authority to exercise whatever authority that the king of that kingdom has given them. And that is the case. Now I'm going to read to you some other scriptures. I'm going to Luke 10, 17 through 20. Now, we're still talking about the authority and the power that the Lord Jesus Christ has given us to show forth the kingdom of God on the earth. Remember, Jesus Christ came not only to save our souls and to set us free, but to destroy all the works of the enemy. What are the works of the enemy? Destruction. He steals. He lies. He's a thief. He's a murderer. That's what the devil is. But he came to destroy the works of the enemy. And how does he destroy the works of the enemy? By healing the sick, by casting out devils, by raising the dead. That's how he destroys the works of the enemy. And that's what we should do. But we can't do it if we don't know how. We can't do it if we're not walking in the authority and the power that Jesus Christ has given us. He's given it to us. Only thing we have to do is operate in it. Operate in it, believe it, study his word, allow the Spirit of God to work through us and to speak to us, and we have to obey the word and obey the Spirit of the living God. Now, Luke 10, 17 through 20. Listen to this here. And the 70 returned again with joy, saying, Lord, even the devils are subject unto us. Through thy name, through the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, the devils are subject unto us. Now take it now. The 70 returned. Now this was before Jesus died. This was before he was laid in the grave for 3 days. This was before he was resurrected. This was before he was seen of the disciples some 40 days after his resurrection. And this was before he went to the right hand of the Father. This was before all of this. This was before all of this. They had authority and power over demonic entities in people's lives. All right. Then he said, now this is Jesus said this. And he said unto them, Jesus said, I beheld Satan as lightning fall from heaven. Behold, I gave unto you power to tread on serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy. And nothing shall by any means hurt you. Notwithstanding in this, rejoice not that the spirits are subject unto you, but rather rejoice because your names are written in heaven. So the first thing we have to recognize is not so much that we have power and authority over Satan and his demons, is that we have a relationship with Jesus Christ and with the Lord. We have been adopted into the family of God through Christ Jesus, and we have a relationship with Jesus Christ. We know the Lord. That is what we should really focus on. And if we focus on that, we won't be focusing on doing things that are wrong and slipping and dipping and seeing how close to the line of sin that we can get to. That's not what it's about. It's about our salvation first, before we can think about all this other stuff. Because we don't want to be like false apostles and deceitful workers who transform themselves into angels of light. The Bible tells us that the devil can do that. He can fake it. But he don't have any relationship with the Lord. He's a liar, he's a deceiver, he's a destroyer. Satan and demons cannot be saved, but they can act like they are. They can fake it. We don't want to be like that. We want to have a genuine relationship with the Lord. We want our salvation that was brought by Christ Jesus to be real. So that's what Jesus emphasized, that but rejoice because your names are written in heaven. Notwithstanding in this, rejoice not that the spirits are subject unto you, but rather rejoice because your names are written in heaven. Have a relationship with the Lord. Now, the previous verse before that says, I give you power to tread on serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means hurt you. So you see, the Lord Jesus, he gave us that authority by his word and by his authority and by his power. He gave it to us. Why? To exercise it, to show forth the kingdom of God on earth so that men can see the might and the power of God to destroy the works of the enemy. When people see the works of the enemy being destroyed, then they will see God. They will seek Jesus Christ, because they will see and realize that it's not you that's doing that. They will see and realize that there is a God that has true authority and true power, and he is the one that's omnipotent. He has all the power. God is all-knowing, and God is everywhere all the time. And so, therefore, we can truly trust in God, we can truly trust in Jesus Christ, and we can trust in the authority and the power that our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ has given us. Now, the scripture also says that nothing shall by any means hurt us. Now, I say, oh, my goodness, what are you talking about, man? I see saints and believers and people who who worship the Lord and have a strong relationship with the Lord, and they get hurt, they get involved in accidents, disease comes upon them from time to time, the devil will attack them, shoot darts at them. What is he talking about? What he's talking about is nothing shall separate you from the love of God. Nothing can pluck you out of the hands of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Regardless of what happens to us, regardless of what touches our body, regardless of what speaks to our mind, as long as we continue in Christ, nothing can hurt our spirits. Nothing can separate us from the love of God. Like Paul said, nothing can separate us from the love of God. Nothing on the earth, nothing above the earth, nothing below the earth, no devil, no demon, no tribulation, no persecution. Nothing can separate us from the love of God. Nothing can hurt our spirit man because of what Christ has already done for us. So in that context, nothing will hurt us. Nothing can separate us from God. Nothing can hurt our spiritual relationship with the Lord. Satan cannot separate us from God unless we do it, unless we separate ourselves from the Lord. But through the authority and through the power of God, we can stand strong in the things of God. By the authority and the power of God, we can stand strong in our deliverance. Through the authority and the power of God, we can and we will defeat the enemy and all that he throws at us, because Jesus Christ has given us his authority and his power, and we can stand in his authority and his power over all the power of the enemy. See, the enemy only has power over our physical flesh. But he really doesn't have power over our spirit and soul man when our spirit and soul man is united in Christ, is united in the Holy Ghost, is united in the Holy Spirit. But we have to believe it, and we have to exercise our authority. We cannot listen to and accept and believe the lies of the enemy. You cannot match wits with the enemy with your own natural mind and natural reasoning. He's going to defeat you every time. So the best thing to do is not to even listen to him. When he talks to you, you quote him the word. You do the same thing Jesus did. You quote the word to him, and you rebuke him, and you apply the blood of Jesus that prevails against the enemy every time. Every time the blood of Jesus Christ will defeat the enemy. Every time. Because the enemy is a devil, is a rebellious entity, he might not want to get away on the first application of the word of God, of the spirit, of the blood of Jesus. But you keep doing it, and he has to go, because he cannot stand against the true word of God. That's why you can't talk to him. The only thing you can do is use the word of God, put the prevailing blood of Jesus against him, and allow the Holy Ghost or the Holy Spirit to guide and teach you how to deal with the devil, or else you're fighting a losing battle. Now, I'm going to read something else to you. I'm coming to Acts 1:1-8, and this is Acts 1:1. The former account I made, O Theophilus, of all that Jesus began both to do and teach until the day in which he was taken up, after he through the Holy Spirit had given commandments to the apostles whom he had chosen, to whom he also presented himself alive after his suffering by many infallible proofs, being seen by them during 40 days and speaking of the things pertaining to the kingdom of God. Now, and being assembled together with them, he commanded them not to depart from Jerusalem, but to wait for the promise of the Father, which he said, "You have heard from me. For John truly baptized with water, but you shall be baptized with the Holy Spirit not many days from now." Therefore, when they had come together, they asked him, saying, "Lord, will you at this time restore the kingdom to Israel?" And he said to them, "It is not for you to know times or seasons, which the Father has put in his own authority, but you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses to me in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth." Now, Jesus told us that we should receive power after the Holy Spirit has come upon you. Now, what is this power for? Is this power for to just sit up and speak in tongues? Is this power just for to say that you've been filled with the Spirit and you're just saved? No, it's for more than that. He said you're going to be our witnesses. Now, if we're going to be a witness to the Lord, that means we're going to hold on to the Lord to the very end. Not only will we hold on to the Lord to the very end, but we will exercise the same authority and power that Jesus Christ exercised when he walked the earth. Now, what power and authority did Jesus Christ exercise when he was on the earth? Now, Jesus came to destroy the works of the enemy and to save and redeem mankind. So what did Jesus do when he was on the earth? Well, the Bible tells us what he did. He healed the sick. He cast out devils. He set the captives free. He fed the hungry. He gave sight to the blind. He caused deaf people to hear. He caused paralyzed people to get up and walk. Say, the lame walked, the deaf they heard, the mute they spoke. He raised up the dead. Now, these are all the things that we should do as being witnesses of Jesus Christ. We need to do these things. Now, if we don't do these things, we need to check ourselves. Because if we are saved and if we have been filled with the Spirit of God, then these various giftings and the fruit of the Spirit should manifest themselves in our life. Because that is what the Spirit of God desires to do in us. Is to cause us to be like Christ, to cause us to bring forth the kingdom of God to earth. There's no sickness in the kingdom of God. There's no devils in the kingdom of God. There's no lack in the kingdom of God. There's no depression in the kingdom of God. There's no pain in the kingdom of God. Now, there are some things that we're going to exercise pain on this earth because we're in a natural body. But we should not be continually experiencing the pain of demonic oppression, demonic depression, demonic possession. We should not be continually exercising those pains. When we have accepted Jesus Christ as our Lord, when we are filled with the Spirit, we should not experience those things on a continual basis, because we should exercise our authority and power over the spirit of devils, false spirits, lying spirits, spirits that would do harm to us. We have authority by Jesus Christ, by the blood of Jesus, and via the Holy Ghost, we can exercise our God-given right. It is a God-given right to the believer to be delivered and set free and set the captive free. That is what we are here for. That is what Jesus came, lived, died on the cross, resurrected, sitting on the right hand of the Father, making intercession for us daily, putting down the accusations of Satan, for Satan is an accuser of the brethren. We have an advocate in Jesus Christ. And he's praying for us. Jesus says he's praying for us. He's not praying for the world. He's praying for us. Now, there's... we have Jesus Christ praying for us. So that means in his mind, in his heart, it's for us to be delivered. It's for us to grow strong in the Lord. It's for us to exercise our authority to defeat the devil, not only in our lives, but in the lives of others. It's not a selfish salvation. It's a salvation whereas you are concerned with the welfare of others. We live a life in Christ, and that others can recognize and see the life of Christ through us, that they would have a desire to be saved, and we can help them into the kingdom. Now, we have some things that would allow the enemy to come in, and I'm going to read some of them to you. It's a whole lot of them, but I'm just going to read a few of them, the main ones. And each one of these spirits, they come in groups, and they bring various other spirits with them. Now, the first one I'm going to deal with is bitterness, a spirit of bitterness. It's a devil. A devil, a demon of bitterness. But with bitterness comes resentment, hatred, unforgiveness, violence, temper, anger, retaliation, and murder. You see? So you got to get rid of bitterness. And you can do that through Jesus Christ, through the blood of the Lord, through the word of God, and by his Holy Ghost. You have rebellion, that's another opening for the enemy. Now, under that, you have a demon of self-will in the negative sense, stubbornness, disobedience, anti-submissiveness. Then you have accusation. Now, the demons that are associated with that in that grouping is judging, criticism, fault fighting, and then you have rejection, which is a big one, fear of rejection and self-rejection. We have another demon and its groupings and the demons that follow it, insecurity, which involves inferiority, self-pity, loneliness, timidity, shyness, inadequacy, ineptness, and then you also have the demon of passivity. And the demons that are with him is funk, indifference, listlessness, and lethargy. Now, funk is a condition of the mind which deals with depression and oppression, is negativity. That's under the title of funk. Now, you also have a main demon of depression, a main spirit, demonic spirit of depression. And the various foul spirits that's with depression is despair, despondency, discouragement, defeatism, dejection, hopelessness, suicide, death, insomnia, and morbidity. Now, I'm going to go with one more here, which is strife. That's the main demonic spirit, and the spirits that in this grouping is contention, bickering, argument, quarreling, and fighting. So, you see, when you're involved in all these different spirits that I just mentioned, you have already opened the door to other groupings of demons that come in. And that's what makes it so difficult to be set free. But as we have said previously, you have the authority through Jesus Christ to defeat all the things that I just mentioned. So you don't have to fear that the enemy can take over you when you are in Christ. You can dispel that lie. Don't fall under that fear that you can't defeat the enemy. You can defeat the enemy, but you can only defeat the enemy through and by Jesus Christ, by his shed blood, by the word of God, and the power of your testimony, and by the Holy Ghost. Now, we're going to come against these various spirits right now by the blood and in the name of Jesus. Now, we come against the spirit of bitterness. Right now, we bind the spirit of bitterness up. We cast it out. We bind it up. We cast it out right now by the blood and in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. Bitterness, go. Be gone in Jesus' name. You foul spirit of rebellion in all your root, we bind you up. We cast you out in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. The accusation spirit and all of your root, we bind you up and we cast you out right now by the blood and in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. Spirit of rejection and all that follow you, we bind you up and we cast you out right now by the blood and in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. Insecurity in all of your roots, all of your spirits in that grouping, we bind you up and we cast you out right now by the blood and in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. Passivity in all of your grouping, we cast you out. We bind you up. We cast you out. The blood of Jesus prevail against you. Be gone in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Spirit of depression in all of your spirits, we bind you up and we cast you out. The blood of Jesus prevail against you. Be gone in Jesus' name. Strife and all of the spirits connected with strife, we bind you up and we cast you out right now by the blood and in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. Be gone, controlling spirits. And all spirits connected with control, we bind you up and we cast you out. The blood of Jesus prevail against you. Be gone right now in Jesus' name. Foul spirit of retaliation, we bind you up, we cast you out, the blood of Jesus prevail against you, be gone right now in Jesus' name. Spirit, foul spirit of sensitivity and all connected with you spirits, we bind you up, we cast you out. The blood of Jesus prevail against you. We rebuke you right now by the blood and in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. Be gone. All you foul spirits that were persecuted or persecution, we bind you up. We cast you foul spirit up. We rebuke you right now by the blood and in the name of Jesus. Loose your hold right now in Jesus' name. Be gone. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. Spirits of depression, spirits of oppression, spirits of infirmity, spirits of disease, spirits that will try to control the mind, spirits of schizophrenia, we bind you foul spirits up right now by the blood and in the name of Jesus Christ. Be gone right now in Jesus' name. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, all you foul spirits, loose your hold on God's people. Loose them and set them free right now in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. Loose your hold in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Praise the Lord. We thank the Lord for the deliverance that God has done. We're going to end it with a portion of this song, and we will see you all next week. Praise the Lord.
is mournful yet strong.